welcoming all of you to Bhakta Sangha conference call. Today we are very fortunate to have Her Grace Sarojini Nandini Mataji. And Mataji is going to continue and enlighten us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam, 4th Canto, 18th Chapter, 8th Verse onwards. Hare Krishna Mataji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada and Guru Maharaj. Please accept my humble obeisances. Yes, Mataji.
Hare Krishna Mataji, Dandavat Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, all glories to Guru Maharaj. Thank you so much, Mataji, for giving your valuable time and association to us this morning and enlightening us on this topic, Srimad Bhagavatam. I'll hand out the call to you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Just taking the time to go on the go live, Mataji. So, thank you all very much for joining the early morning Srimad Bhagavatam conference call, and also thanks for giving me this opportunity to share my realizations on the topic. So, let's get started. Om Ajnanati Nirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Narayanam Namaskrityam Naranchaiva Narottamam Daivim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jayamudiraye Nashta prayeshu abhadreshu nityam bhagavata sevaya bhagavati uttama shloke bhaktir bhavati naishtiki. So we are reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 18 and Text 8.
Nunam ta Virudah kshina mai kalena bhuyasa tatra yogena drishtena bhavanadatum arhati.
The word to word translation. Nunam, therefore, ta, those, virudah, herbs and grains, Shina, deteriorated, Mai, within me, Kalena, in course of time, Bhuyasa, very much, Tatra, therefore, Yogena, by proper means, Drishtena, acknowledged, Bhavan, your majesty, Adatum, to take, Arhati, ought. I hope I am audible enough to everybody.
Yes, Mataji.
Thank you. Translation by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Due to being stalked for a very long time, all the grain seeds within me have certainly deteriorated. Therefore, you should immediately arrange to take these seeds out by the standard process which is recommended by the Acharyas or Shastras.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada.
When there is a scarcity of grain, the government should follow the methods prescribed in the Shastra and approved by the Acharyas. Thus, there will be sufficient production of grains and food scarcity and famine can be checked. Bhagavad Gita recommends that we perform yajna, sacrifices, by the performance of yajna, sufficient clouds gather in the sky, and when there are sufficient clouds, there is also sufficient rainfall. In this way, agricultural matters are taken care of. When there is sufficient grain production, the general populace eats the grains, and animals like cows, goats, and other domestic animals eat the grasses and grains also. According to this arrangement, human beings should perform the sacrifices recommended in the Shastras, and if they do so, there will no longer be food scarcity. In Kali Yuga, the only sacrifice recommended is Sankirtana Yajna. In this verse, there are two significant words, Yogena, by the approved method, and Drishtena, as exemplified by the former Acharyas. One is mistaken if he thinks that by applying modern machines such as tractors, grains can be produced. If one goes to a desert and uses a tractor, there is still no possibility of producing grains. We may adopt various means, but it is essential to know that the planet Earth will stop producing grains if sacrifices are not performed. The Earth has already explained that because non-devotees are enjoying the production of food, she has reserved food seeds for the performance of sacrifice. Now, of course, atheists will not believe in this spiritual method of producing grains, but whether they believe or not, the fact remains that we are not independent to produce grain by mechanical means. As far as the approved method is concerned, it is enjoined in the Shastras that intelligent men in this age of Kali will take to the Sankirtana movement, and by doing so, they shall worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Chaitanya, whose bodily complexion is golden and who is always accompanied by his confidential devotees to preach this Krishna consciousness movement all over the world. In its present condition, the world can only be saved by introducing this Sankirtana, this Krishna consciousness movement. As we have learned from the previous verse, one who is not in Krishna consciousness is considered a thief. Even though he may be materially very advanced, a thief cannot be placed in a comfortable position. A thief is a thief and he is punishable because people are without Krishna consciousness. They have become thieves and consequently they are being punished by the laws of material nature. No one can check this, not even by introducing so many relief funds and humanitarian institutions. Unless the people of the world take to Krishna consciousness, there will be a scarcity of food and much suffering.
Om Tat Sat. Om Ajnanati Mirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Mukam Karoti Vachalam Pangum Langayate Girim Yet Kripatamaham Mande Shri Gurundina Tarinam. So we are reading from the fourth canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, the 18th chapter, which is about milking the earth, who is in the shape of a cow. And we are in the point where we are discussing, in the previous verse it was discussed that the mother earth, who was in the form of a cow, she had hidden some food grains from the thieves who were trying to enjoy the grains without offering them back to the demigods. She was trying to safeguard those grains or seeds from the thieves because only by performance of yajna, then the whole world will be flourishing well. And in this verse, she is saying that because of storing the seeds and stocking them for a very long time, they got deteriorated over a period of time. And she is also requesting Prithu Maharaj to take out these seeds by the standard process recommended by the Shastras and by the Acharyas. So this is the process given by Krishna, as we know from the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita in the 10th verse. Krishna says, Sahayajna praja srishtva purovacha prajapatihi anena prasavishyadvam eshavo svishta kamaduk. That in the beginning of creation, Krishna sent forth generations of men and demigods and also along with the yajnas or the sacrifices recommended. And by performance of these sacrifices, he says that be happy by performing these sacrifices, because by performance of these sacrifices, you are going to get all necessities or supply that you need to live a happy life and to attain liberation. And in the next verse, that is the third chapter, 11th verse, Krishna goes on to say, Devan bhavayatanena te deva bhavayantu vaha parasparam bhavayantaha shreyaha paramavapsyatha. Which means that the demigods, being pleased by the sacrifices performed by the people, will also please you, and therefore by pleasing each other, you can live happily and prosperity will reign for all. So this is the process that Krishna recommends, that we have to please the demigods with proper sacrifice, and then once they are pleased, the different demigods in charge of different departments will supply all the necessities that we require, including rain, food, grains, and enough wind, and all the other necessities that we require for life. And if the yajnas or the sacrifices are performed perfectly, then the demigods will be able to give all supplies necessary for our life. But if we don't perform the yajnas perfectly, then we will have a scarcity of food grains. That is what is being explained in this verse. Now, performing the sacrifices in Kali Yuga is very, very difficult, because first of all, there are no pure ingredients, and for yajnas it needs to be performed perfectly, which means that there has to be pure ingredients like pure ghee and pure cow dung. And also we need qualified brahmanas to recite the mantras. So it is not possible so easily to please the demigods by performing yajnas in the Kali Yuga, because it is all adulterated. In this regard, there is a very nice incident about Haridas Thakur, who wanted to visit Advaita Acharya's house. So once Advaita Acharya on the Shraddha had arranged a Shraddha ceremony on the death anniversary of his parents, and he had invited many devotees, and Haridas Thakur also came for the function, and Advaita Acharya very happily received Haridas Thakur. And in this function he had arranged for some sacrifices and some rituals, and also had arranged a big feast for Krishna. And after offering the big feast to Krishna, it is customary that the first remnants had to be given to the most senior devotee or a brahmana. And Advaita Acharya, after offering the food to Krishna, he had to consider whom he wanted to offer the first remnants to. And he thought that Haridas Thakur was the most appropriate person to receive this offering. Although he was born in a Mohammedan family, but he was a very pure devotee of Krishna. So he thought he is the most perfect brahmana. But there was some other brahmana in the assembly who said that, how can you offer this to Haridas Thakur? He is not even born in a brahmana family. He is born in a Mohammedan family, in such a low caste. So how can you consider him as the most qualified brahmana to receive the first offerings? So Advaita Acharya said, okay, then let's have a test. Let's see who is the most qualified brahmana in this assembly. Because if somebody is a qualified brahmana, then they should be able to light up the wood that we have to give in the yajna or the sacrifice just by invoking the mantras and by blowing on the wood piece. So if somebody is able to do that, then he is a qualified brahmana, and if somebody is not able to do that, then he is not a brahmana. So let's keep a test that who is able to do this. So everybody got ready for the test, and everybody wanted to blow on the piece of wood, but everybody tried hard to blow on the piece of wood, and nobody was able to light up the wood piece. And so there was somebody else in the assembly who wanted to try even more. So he said the Agni Mantra, and then he tried to blow hard. But nothing happened, and the wood piece did not ignite. Finally, it came down to Haridas Thakur. And Haridas Thakur was just chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And his chanting of the Hare Krishna Mantra was so potent that just by chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by blowing on the piece of wood, he was able to ignite the wood piece. So then Advaita Acharya said, see, now we understand who is a qualified Brahmana, right? That he was able to light up the wood piece just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by blowing on it. So he is the most qualified person to receive the first remnants. So this custom of giving the first remnants to a qualified person is present from the Dwapara Yuga in the times of Pandavas, where after the Rajasiya Yajna, they were considering whom to offer the first offering or the first respects to. They call it Agra Puja. And after the Rajasiya Yajna, Sahadeva, he suggested that Krishna should get the first respects or the Agra Puja, because he is the most qualified person and he knew that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So he was suggesting Krishna. But then Shishupala, who was very envious of Krishna, he opposed and he said that how can you offer the first respects to Krishna? He is just a cowherd boy and he's coming from a cowherd family and he's just acting as though he is from a royal family and he's not at all qualified. So you should not give the first respects to him. And he just went on blaspheming Krishna for a very long time. And the Sudarshana Chakra could not tolerate this. And after some point, the Sudarshana Chakra flew from Krishna's hands and chopped off Shishupala's head. So then they offered the first respects to Krishna in the Rajasiya Yajna, after the Rajasiya Yajna finished. So this is how it is customary to give first respects to a most qualified person in the assembly. So, Rajasiya, like how they offered the first respects to Krishna after Rajasiya Yajna, Advaita Acharya also offered the first remnants of the Krishna Prasad to Haridas Thakur because he was the most qualified person. So, in this way, in Kali Yuga, it is very difficult to perform sacrifices with pure ingredients and with qualified brahmanas because a brahmana, qualified brahmana, is supposed to ignite a piece of wood just by invoking mantras in proper meter and with proper pronunciation, because just a difference in pronunciation can yield a different result. So we need really qualified brahmanas to do that, and nobody is able to do that in Kali Yuga. So our only hope is to perform Sankirtana Yajna or to perform sacrifice by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by completely dedicating our lives to the chanting of the holy names like Haridas Thakur, we can try to please the demigods. This is the only process that we can adopt. And as Krishna says in the Srimad Bhagavatam 11th canto, 5th chapter, 32nd verse, Krishna Varnam Tvisha Krishnam Sangopangastra Parshadam Yajnai Sankirtana Praya Yajantihi Sumedashaha. That in the Kali Yuga, intelligent persons engage in the congregational chanting of the holy names of the Lord and follow the Lord who always sings the names of Krishna. So this is how we can please the Lord. Because ultimately, pleasing the demigods also results in pleasing the Supreme Lord, because the Supreme Lord is the enjoyer of all sacrifices. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. So he is the supreme enjoyer of all the sacrifices. So by pleasing the demigods, we are actually pleasing the Supreme Lord Krishna. This is the process recommended. And in Kali Yuga, Sankirtana Yajna is our only hope. And it is not a very big sacrifice actually. Performing Sankirtana Yajna is only a very simple process. And if we follow it very strictly and if we follow it very sincerely, then we will get the benefit. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada uses a very interesting line. He says that people who are not in Krishna consciousness are just merely being thieves. They are becoming thieves. And why he says this line is that if we are not in Krishna consciousness, then we are actually not offering our food to Krishna. If we are not being thankful to the person who gave us all necessities in life. So that way we are just enjoying the result without
giving back our even our gratitude or giving back anything in return to the demigods and, of course, indirectly to the Supreme Lord. So that is why Prabhupada is saying that we have all become thieves if we are not in Krishna consciousness. And in the third chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, again, the 11th verse, Krishna goes on to say, Ishtam bhogan hi vo deva dasyante yajna bhavita tairdattan apradayaibhyo yobungte stena evasaha. So this word stena is very important. The meaning of this verse is that the demigods who are pleased with the sacrifices will bestow all supplies or necessities to you. But he who receives such gifts without offering anything back to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. That is what is the word stena means. Stena means thief. So we are all becoming thieves if we are not giving back anything to Krishna in return. And Sri Ishopanishad also confirms this. In the first verse of the Sri Ishopanishad, it is said, Ishavashyam midam sarvam yat kincha jagatyam jagat tena tyaktena runjita magrida kasya siddhanam. That everything animate or inanimate in this universe is being controlled and owned by the Supreme Lord. And one should only take that much as is necessary for him, which is set aside as his quota, and should not accept other things, knowing well to whom they belong. So Krishna is the original proprietor of everything in this material universe. But people very often think that they are the proprietor of the things that they possess, at least, because they think that they have earned very hard to obtain all these food grains. They have earned very hard to get this house or to get this car. They think that they are the owners of everything. And even food grains, because they think that they are the owners of all these necessities that they have in life, they use it very luxuriously and they waste a lot of food grains and other things that they possess in their life. And nowadays we know there is so much of scarcity of food grains and scarcity of water especially. We heard recently that in India there is so much of scarcity of water in Chennai and in so many other places that they are suffering even without drinking water, and they are suffering to get water in the house. So we are seeing the results of not being Krishna conscious. We have already started seeing the effects of that in Kali Yuga, in today's world. So we have to be very careful with the things that we use. We have to be careful not to waste the resources of Lord Krishna. We are not the owners, first of all, and we should be careful not to waste the resources of Krishna, because then we will suffer in future and also our future generation will suffer. But what happens is, because people are using all these supplies in a very lavish way, we are experiencing this scarcity. Prabhupada says that there is enough food grains for everyone's need, but not for everyone's greed. So if we use it lavishly and if we are not careful to safeguard it, then definitely we are going to face this scarcity. So that's what Srila Prabhupada also recommends, that we have to be very careful in using these things. And also the other problem is, we come to know that people think that they can manufacture everything on their own, including the food grains. In the purport of this verse, Srila Prabhupada says that people think that just because they have sophisticated machinery and big tractors, they think that they can produce food grains just by these machines. But they cannot go and produce the same food grains in a infertile land or a desert. If they can produce that, then they will become God. But they don't accept that that God is behind all these things, and He is actually supplying all the necessities required to make the land fertile and to give us food grains. So similarly, even take for example building a big mansion. What does it require? It requires cement, iron, wood, bricks, earth, and so many things, raw materials that we may require to build a house. But we cannot manufacture all these raw materials by ourselves. We know that very well. We can only put these together and bring it into a proper shape. So we can only work hard to manufacture it or to put in our labor. And a laborer cannot say that he is the owner of a thing or he is the proprietor of something just because he worked very hard to manufacture it. If we say that I have worked very hard and so I earned all this money and with my hard-earned money I am buying all these things that I need for my life, then it is like saying, it is like the laborer saying that, you know, I'm working so hard with all this raw materials and I have made this big mansion, so I have become the owner of this mansion. Can a laborer say that? No. The owner of the house is the owner of the house and he pays whatever is required for the laborer. So similarly, we have to understand that Krishna is the owner of everything and he has given us all the supplies that we need. We just need to follow the process that is recommended in the Shastras and by the Acharyas. So that is why these two words are given in the verse, Yogena and Drishtena, and Srila Prabhupada also stresses these two words in the purport, saying that we have to follow the recommended process given in the Shastras and by the Acharyas. So we read from Srimad Bhagavad Gita and from other scriptures how Krishna is the owner of everything and we are actually stealing things from him if we are not giving him anything and if we are not offering our food. So that is what Krishna is recommending. And then also we have to understand that people are trying to spend all these resources lavishly and they are trying to say that there is so much of scarcity of food grains in this material world, that is why I am killing animals and I am eating animals, and they incur more sin by saying like that and by doing like that, because people think that the scarcity of foodstuffs can be solved by eating animals. That's how they justify. Actually, it is not even that they are facing so much of scarcity of food grains, but they justify their meat eating like that. But Srila Prabhupada says in the purport itself that there is enough food grains for human beings and there is enough food grains for animals and for all the farm animals. They are also supposed to eat grains and grass. So Srila Prabhupada says that there is enough food for all the people and all the animals as well. But people try to justify to eat animals. They say such fake reasons. Also, being a vegetarian does not mean that we can escape the laws of nature, because ultimately even the food grains that we eat, it belongs to Krishna. And as Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, third chapter, that if we eat the foodstuffs that Krishna has given us without offering it first to him in sacrifice, then we are just verily eating sin. Yajna shishta shina santo muchyante sarvakil vishayihi bunjate te twagam papa ye pachantyatma karanat. So Krishna says that if we eat all these foodstuffs without offering it first to him, then it is like eating sin. So we have to be very careful to understand how the laws of nature work. Animals, they do not have developed consciousness to understand the teachings of Lord Krishna. But as human beings, we have enough intelligence to understand what is given in the Vedic scriptures. And we must follow all these instructions very carefully in order to escape the laws of nature and to incur bad karma. So we have to understand what Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita. We have to understand what Krishna says in the Vedic scriptures to live a very happy and healthy life, and also to ultimately reach our supreme destination, Goloka Vrindavana. We cannot say that I don't know, I was just born in some family which I did not know. And even if we get an opportunity, sometimes we neglect. We don't utilize the opportunity to know about Krishna. So if we are careless like that, then we will definitely have to go through whatever the laws of nature has to give back, the reactions of our actions. Just like how driving in the United States, before driving in the United States, you need to read the law book, the rule book of how to drive, and you know, driving on the right hand side, and before turning left you have to yield to the persons coming in the in front, and you have to follow so many other rules that we read before getting a driver's license. It is very, very important. It is mandatory to know the rules. If you are new and if you come and then if you say that, oh, I did not know that such rules exist, and when you do a mistake, the cop is definitely going to catch you and he's not going to listen to your excuses that I did not know. Because we cannot say that I did not know that this was a rule. It is understood and it is mandatory for us to know the rules before we start driving. Because anyway, otherwise he is going to give us a ticket if we make a mistake. So we cannot give such fake excuses. It is very childish. But similarly, there are laws of nature. And Krishna has very clearly told that if we do not offer food to him first, then we are going to incur sin. So we cannot say that I did not know all these things and I have just been eating vegetarian food. So why should I get sins? You cannot ask like that. Krishna has given these instructions and we are supposed to read. We have developed consciousness. We are intelligent enough to understand that we have to know what is there in the Vedic scriptures. Ignorance is not an excuse. We have to know. So that's why it is important to read all the scriptures to understand what Krishna says and to understand how we can escape from all this papa or bad karma. So Krishna has very clearly given us instructions. We cannot give an excuse. We have to be Krishna conscious and we have to offer the food that has been given to us by Krishna first to him and then take the remnants. That is how it is. So also that we have to offer it very lovingly to Krishna, not as just a chore, because all he wants is that loving relationship from his devotees. So this is what is the recommended process. But what happens? Demons, they do not bother about sins. Demons are very much interested in their own sense gratification. In the 16th chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna has given us a long description of how the demons think and their mentality. And in the 8th verse of the 16th chapter, Krishna says that asatyam apratishtamte jagadahuranishwaram aparaspara sambhutam kimanyat kamahaitukam. That the demons, they say that this world is without any foundation. This world is unreal and there is no God in control. Anishwaram. They say that this world does not have any Ishwar or God. So then they go on to say that the material world is just produced by chance, by combination of matter, and there is no cause other than lust. So this is how the demons describe the process of creation. So they give different interpretations to understand how the creation happened. They say that all this was just produced by chance of actions and reactions, and it is just produced by combination of matter and by the combination of man and woman, everybody is created. So they don't believe in spirit. They only believe in matter. They don't believe in spiritual existence. So they say that there is no supreme spirit also behind all these things. They don't believe that there is God. They say that everything is just matter. So they also go on to say that everything produced by matter, so there is no soul. So they don't believe that there is a soul. Only when we believe that there is a soul and only when we believe that there is a super soul, then we understand, we get to understand how we can connect back to the super soul and how we can please the super soul. But if they don't even believe in the existence of the soul, then how atheistic their concepts must be. And also in this way they create different theories to explain the process of creation. So as we know, in the modern science also, we have example of Darwin's theory, that Darwin said that men came from monkeys by the process of evolution. And Vedic scriptures do not accept such theories. So these people, the atheistic people, like to speculate different theories to understand how the creation happened. And they don't want to understand the existence of the superpower or God behind all these things, because if they accept that, then they have to worship God. They cannot indulge in sense gratification. Knowing very well all these facts, they purposely try to avoid the fact that Krishna or God is behind all these things. And they have very funny concepts of, you know, how they believe that everything was created by chance and everything that they have is their own possession, and they are so much interested in sense gratification. And they also are very envious of each other. And also they create so many weapons to destroy each other. And Srila Prabhupada explains in the 16th chapter very well that the nuclear weapons that were created in today's world, it is all already spoken by Krishna. that the demons will be very foolish in the name of technological developments. They are going to produce nuclear weapons, or they are going to produce such dangerous weapons which is going to completely vanquish the entire human race. So the demons are so foolish that they think that they are developing in technology and they are creating all these nuclear weapons, but it is only going to destroy people. It is not going to help in any way. All these things are already predicted by Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. And this is all happening. We are seeing it happening in today's world. Such dangerous weapons being created, and the demons being so selfish and so everybody is interested in their own sense gratification. They want to forget about God. They want to forget about all the real facts that they are facing in life, and they don't want to address the problems of the material miseries of birth, death, old age, and disease. So these things are given, a very detailed description of the demonic mentality. And Srila Prabhupada is also saying that this is how the demons are so selfish, and they are becoming thieves by not being Krishna conscious. It may seem as though it is like an idea or opinion of a particular person to say that somebody is being thief by not being Krishna conscious. But actually it is a fact, because if they are not Krishna conscious, then we are not going to follow the instructions that were given in the scriptures, because hardly any religion is existing in today's world. Everybody is just very superficially following all these religions. So unless we take these instructions very sincerely, seriously, and follow it sincerely from our heart, it is very difficult to actually please the demigods, and we are experiencing the scarcity because of all these mentalities, the demonic mentality of the people in the Kali Yuga. So if we perform Sankirtana Yajna, then it is going to benefit all the people in general. It is going to benefit each and every person. That is why, the Sankirtana Yajna is purifying not only for the person who is chanting the holy names, but even the other living beings, other living creatures that are hearing it. Sometimes when we chant Hare Krishna, devotees have told that, please chant loud so that even the ants and the other insects or other animals that are walking by can also hear, and even other people can hear. Because just by hearing the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, you are going to get benefit. So if we chant loud, we can also benefit the human society. And slowly, by our example, we can also preach to others. But what happens in the modern world, due to the scarcity of food grains and due to the problems that people are facing out of hunger and thirst, the drought they're trying to address by creating some artificial, relief institutions. They try to create institutions and they try to serve orphans and old people who are forsaken. But these things are not going to solve the problem. These are just ephemeral solutions to the problem. These are not going to address the root cause of the problem, which is scarcity of yajna. That is, people not performing yajna, people not being devotees. That is the problem. That is why all these scarcity is there. But people are trying to, cover up these original reasons, and they're just trying to say that, service to mankind is service to God. Service to humanity is service to God. Manav seva hi madhav seva. All these concepts they have developed, it is really against the Vedic scriptures. These are not true. We cannot solve the entire problem of the society just by serving few hungry people. That's not going to happen. But, of course, the Food for Life program that ISKCON has, it definitely also benefits everybody as much as possible, because it is not only giving them food for their hunger, for their physical needs, but it is also giving them food for their soul, which means by eating Krishna Prasad, they get benefit of, connecting back to Krishna. Definitely they will also become devotees one day. So we are not only addressing the problem of the hunger or the physical needs, we are also addressing the problem of spiritual knowledge or the spiritual making the benefit of starting their spiritual life by giving them Krishna Prasad. And so many people have turned into devotees just by eating Krishna Prasad. So it is very important for us to take this instruction of
following the Sankirtana Yajna, as it is discussed in the purport also in by Srila Prabhupada, that intelligent persons take to the chanting of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and they get engaged in Sankirtana Yajna in Kali Yuga and worship the Supreme Lord who chants Krishna's names and sings Krishna's names all the time. So indirectly it is meaning Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is also a verse which talks about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in a very indirect way. So it's very clear that this is the one of the most important things that we have to do by performing Sankirtana Yajna in order to solve all these scarcity of food grain problems in the human society. And not only should we do the Sankirtana Yajna, we should also spread this message to as many people as possible and engage them in the congregational chanting of the holy names of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In this way, by performing the Sankirtana Yajna, either by singing or by chanting, we can definitely address the problems of scarcity of food grains and scarcity of so many other supplies that we need in life. Because the demigods will definitely be pleased, but they will be more pleased because if Krishna is pleased, then all the demigods will be pleased. Because Krishna is the root, he is the main person, he is like the in charge of everybody, he is the controller of everybody. So if we please Krishna, then the demigods are very happy. So they will supply all the necessities even without our performing specific yajnas for specific purposes, like how in the Vrindavan Vasis wanted to perform sacrifice to invoke rain from Indra. We don't have to perform separate sacrifices like that. Just by performing Sankirtana Yajna, Krishna is pleased, and when the root is pleased, the whole plant gets nourished. Similarly, so when Krishna is pleased, then all the demigods are pleased and they are going to give us what we need in our life. So the demigods are working under the instruction, direct instruction of Krishna. So we have to understand that although Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita that by corresponding happiness between, by pleasing each other, demigods and men, they will be very happy with each other and prosperity will reign. By saying like that, Krishna means that the demigods have to be pleased, but ultimately we have to know who is behind all these yajnas. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam, Krishna says so clearly in Bhagavad Gita. And also Vedaischa sarvair ahameva vedyo, that is what Krishna says. Of all the Vedas, I am to be known. So we have to know the ultimate person who is behind all these things, who is the ultimate controller. Without knowing that, if we try to please the demigods, then only that much as we do, we will get the result. But if we please the Supreme Lord, we will get more than what we deserve. So by saying this, I would like to conclude here and open the forum for any discussions, questions, comments, or even corrections. Thank you all very much for patient listening and giving me this opportunity to speak. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna Mataji, thank you so much for wonderful class, Mataji. Very valuable. I keep on hearing Prabhupada saying resources, but sometime I'm not able to control that, Mataji, but I'll do my practice. Thank you so much, Mataji. If anybody have any questions or realization, please go ahead and share. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Dhanavat Pranam, Mataji. Such a beautiful class and with very, very nice examples and detail of about all the, you know, verses that you have explained connected to the Bhagavad Gita. It was so nice, Mataji, but I have a small question regarding the verse that you have quoted from Bhagavad Gita 3.11, where you are telling about, we should offer everything accordingly to the demigods so that, Krishna is satisfied.
So, but as a devotee of ISKCON, like Krishna, like Prabhupada says that, you know, when we water the root, then all the demigods are satisfied. So, we necessarily no need to worship the demigods, right? So, how do we understand both in together, Mataji?
Thank you, Mataji, for a very nice question regarding the topic and a very important question as well. That we are talking about pleasing the demigods in Bhagavad Gita. We are hearing from Bhagavad Gita that we have to please the demigods. And at the same time, Krishna is also saying that just by performing Sankirtana Yajna or by pleasing Him, we are going to please the demigods. It is true that we have to perform Sankirtana Yajna, because in those days, in other yugas, they were performing sacrifices. Especially if you see in Treta Yuga, the recommended process was Yajna or sacrifice. So they had all the facilities, pure ingredients, brahmanas and different things to perform the yajna and to please the demigods. So they were able to do that. And the process recommended in Kali Yuga is chanting of the holy names, which means to say that we don't have the proper ingredients or the proper brahmanas, qualified brahmanas to perform the yajnas. So that is why, you know, performing these yajnas and then pleasing the demigods and then in turn pleasing Krishna is a very complex process, especially in Kali Yuga. But at the same time, we have to understand that we have all due respect for all the demigods. We have to understand their position of how they are serving Krishna and how they are also in charge of so many responsibilities. So we have to give all due respect to the demigods. The thing is, we have to take a balanced approach. That as much as we have completely surrendered to the Krishna conscious process, that much we will be relieved from our obligation towards the demigods, because it is said that we have debts or our renas towards the demigods, we have our renas to our kinsmen, we have our renas towards our parents, we have renas towards our relatives, which means that we have our debts towards all these people because they have done something for us. So we have to pay back our gratitude or our something in return for all that they have done. So we have to give back something to the demigods as well. And as much as we are surrendered to Krishna, that much we will be relieved from the obligation of pleasing the demigods. So we do not completely disrespect the demigods. We do not completely ignore them. At the same time, we do not get involved in too much of demigod worship as well. Because it is not possible to please, first of all, in Kali Yuga. It is not possible to please them completely. So we have to understand our limitation. We have to... Krishna says, Yeya tamam prapadyante tam stataiva bhajamyaham. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says that as much as you surrender to me, that much I will reward you back. So as much, you know, if we are like 60-40, we are 60% surrendered to Krishna and we are 40%, we are still having the obligation towards demigods or obligation towards other people. So if we are like 100% Krishna conscious, then we will be relieved from all other obligations. Then we don't have to satisfy all these needs or obligation towards others. But if we are not 100% Krishna conscious, then we should still follow some basic things that, you know, we have been doing to please, you know, like the minimum rituals or the minimum things that we have been following in our family practice. We can still do that if we want to get relief from the obligation or the renas from the demigods. But it is not completely possible to please them by the process, because everything has been adulterated. If you see even the process or the rituals that they have been doing to please the demigods, even those rituals have, you know, the knowledge has been lost over a period of time. So what two generations before us they were doing, what kind of rituals they were doing, we don't even have knowledge about that. We have probably just gotten half of that knowledge. So everything is coming down. The only thing that is fully available and which is full of knowledge is Srila Prabhupada's movement of Krishna consciousness. Everything else is adulterated. Because Srila Prabhupada is coming in a disciplic succession, in a qualified acharya line, we are able to understand that he was able to establish so many temples, and the same standard is being followed in all the temples all around the world. How this is possible? Only because
he has spoken what he has heard from his acharya, his guru, and he has just given us the same knowledge without any kind of adulteration. And same thing our guru vardas are also doing. They don't adulterate any instruction of Srila Prabhupada. They just repeat. And it is said that a qualified guru is one who does not add any instructions or delete any instructions from his guru. He just delivers the instructions as it is. So we know for sure that Krishna consciousness, or the knowledge that Srila Prabhupada has given us, is unadulterated, and it is complete. That itself is enough for us to go back to Godhead. But even the process of the rituals that we use to worship demigods has been adulterated, and we have modified it to our circumstances, and we are not even able to do as much as our previous generation did. So we understand that it is not possible to please the demigods by this process. But at the same time, performing the minimum rituals while doing the Sankirtana Yajna is not a bad idea. It's not a bad thing to do, because if you feel that you have not completely surrendered to Krishna, and you know very well, you can still follow the basic things that you have inherited from your parents. Or, you know, we can always do that. That is not a problem. That way we are offering our respects to the demigods as well. So whenever we visit any temples or demigods also, we can always pray that, please Ganesha, make me a devotee of Krishna. Please Goddess Lakshmi, please make me a devotee of Krishna. So this is the best prayer that we can offer. And reciting some shlokas or doing some minimum rituals that we have done from our childhood is not at all a bad idea. But as much as possible, we should try to add Krishna, more Krishna consciousness to our life. So much Krishna consciousness adding into our life, if it happens, then that 100% surrender, if it happens, then we will get relieved from all these rinas or obligations. Hope that answers your question, Mataji. If anybody else wants to add something, or
Hare Krishna Mataji, Janvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Such a nectarian class, how nicely you explain about from Siddhi Bhagavad Gita also, and Sri Haridas Thakur story, and it's a really very nectarian class, Mataji. Please give your association regularly. Janvat Pranam, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Gurudev Ki Jai. Thank you very much, Mataji.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
I think Mataji is not here.
Okay.
Hare Krishna, Mataji.
Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, Mataji, Janvat Pranam.
Oh, Mataji, track on?
What's that? Hare Krishna, did anyone else want to add some comments or add any points, realizations, or any questions?
I do have a question. Can you hear me?
Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Yes, Mataji, please go ahead. I can hear.
Okay. Yes, I just wanted to follow up on the answer that you just gave.
Yes.
About the need for demigod worship. And so, my understanding is that even if you are not totally surrendered, you know, just by chanting Krishna's name once or something like that, you can, you know, destroy more sinful reactions than you can possibly create in a lifetime. Or, you know, some tremendous glory is there for chanting the Maha Mantra. And so I was wondering, you know, I know you said that, I think you said that it was not necessary to still do demigod worship, but I mean, even if one is not fully surrendered. So it was just, the tone of your answer seemed to be still that it is better to keep doing demigod rituals, even if you're not totally surrendered. You know, as if it's like a, some kind of insurance, you know? But my problem is that my understanding is that chanting Hare Krishna is really all that we need. There's no need for demigod worship as some kind of insurance against, you know, sinful reactions. I mean, you know, most of us are not, well, I should say many of us, I think, are probably not, you know, fully surrendered, you know, so, anyway, I think maybe I've asked the question. I don't know if you understood me properly. I was wondering if you could address that.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for adding that. What you're saying is 100% true. Just by chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra and by following the process very sincerely, one can definitely get rid of all their debts or rinas from all the other people. But what I was trying to say is, like, people who are attached to demigod worship, maybe somebody who is not born in a family who don't know all these things, they might not be able to do it also. But I'm saying the people who are attached to it, there's as much as, you know, we are, because if somebody is not fully convinced about Krishna consciousness 100%, then they can, you know, just the chanting is going to take them to the platform of being fully Krishna conscious. But if somebody is still attached to the demigod worship, I was just saying that there was nothing wrong in performing that. Okay. As much as you get convinced, as much as you're convinced about Krishna consciousness completely, as much as you're able to completely dedicate your life towards Krishna consciousness, that much conviction if we have, then, you know, just the chanting is going to completely relieve us of all these debts. But if somebody is not 100% convinced about it, and he feels like I'm neither doing this or not doing that, then, you know, it's, I was just saying that it is not wrong to follow the minimum ritual. We should try to spend as much time in Krishna consciousness as much as we can.
Okay, I get you now. Thank you so much. You know, basically, if, you know, for those who are very attached to the demigod worship, it's just, you know, maybe for psychological support, maybe, right? They need to...
Yes, that's exactly what I was saying, because it is not possible to please the demigods by this process completely.
Yeah, Okay, so thank you so much for this clarification, Mataji.
Yes. Thank you, Mataji, for adding this point and bringing up this discussion. Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you also, Mataji.
Anybody else want to add something more? Or any questions?
If nobody have any, can we end the call here?
Yes, Mataji, can you hear me? Yes, Mataji, please go ahead.
Mataji, I have one thing to add here. Like, I mean, not add, like, just I want to tell something that I got realized when you're talking, like, about the demigod worship. Like, the other end is no hope. Like, worshipping demigods is no hope because, as you said, that the rituals that we were doing previously are completely changed. There is no proper mantras. There is nothing. And so to satisfy them is very, very difficult because if you cannot do properly, then they are not satisfied. And there are so many demigods. We cannot satisfy each and every person. So to be into the Krishna consciousness, there is only one process that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gave us is chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So that may be a little easier. And even though we feel that we are not fully doing it, but there is an option for us only this, that at least staying here, we can slowly progress and we can come to that level when where we are completely fixed. That's what I was thinking, Mataji.
And it's more applicable because even if we don't perform completely, this is our only option. So we have to try and do as much sincerely as possible to please Krishna. Thank you very much for adding that, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Thank you, Mataji. Vinaya Mataji. Hare Krishna.
Thank you so much, Mataji, for getting class today, and we are very grateful. Forward for your Mataji. If nobody have any question, we can end the call here. Paying questions.
Hare Krishna, Mataji. Hare Krishna, Mataji, can you hear?
Yes, Mataji, we are able to hear you.
Oh, okay, because I tried with your... I was trying, but then that phone wasn't working, so I'm connecting again. So the thing is, in the case of the Pandavas, when they were in exile, and they had, you know, Draupadi was given by Suryadeva, the Akshay Patra, you all know this. And Durvasa Muni first visit to Duryodhana in Hastinapur, and he pleases with many so much services, and so Durvasa is pleased, and he says he wanted to give benedictions. So then he asked, they go to the Pandavas and also give them also this opportunity to serve you, and so they will be very pleased, and I will be also pleased. So then, but go there after Draupadi eats, you know, take prasadam, and then go. So then they... Durvasa Muni goes with all these 60,000 disciples there. And Idrisi Maharaj invites them, welcomes them, and also asking them, please go and take a bath in the river, and then we'll have prasadam for you when you come back. But the thing is, in the meantime, after all the Pandavas had eaten, everybody was fed, and then after that, Draupadi has already eaten. So there's nothing can be produced from the Akshay Patra, and they cannot serve the Durvasa Muni with all these 60,000 disciples. So what happens, you know, Draupadi just calls out, and Krishna comes. And what happens is Krishna, say, gets the Akshay Patra, and asks him, Draupadi, please give me something to eat. He said, there is nothing, Draupadi said. I already ate, so there's nothing, we don't have anything. So he said, get this Akshay Patra and let's see. So then in that, there was one fiber was stuck. So Krishna takes it, okay. Then he takes, Krishna was satisfied with that one fiber of the spinach. So Krishna is satisfied, whole entire creation, all the 60,000 disciples, and Durvasa Muni, and also the Bhima, who is a voracious eater. They all felt like they have ate up to the neck and very fully satisfied with the food, and everybody, whatever they wanted, whatever their favorite, they had that much. So then they were all satisfied because Krishna was satisfied with the devotion of Draupadi. And just with one small fiber, he was satisfied, so that's why all are satisfied. So even though to demigods, satisfy the demigods, they also will become satisfied. Everybody, all the... Only when Krishna is satisfied, only all the living entities, conditioned, unconditioned, and also all the incarnations of Krishna, they all become satisfied. Hare Krishna. Thank you very much, Mataji, for a very nice class. Hare Krishna.
Fine. Everybody else is satisfied. It's very true. And by these process of demigod worship is all given for different levels of people who are not completely surrendered to Krishna. You know, Krishna is telling at least do the demigod worship. But ultimately we have to get to the point that we are completely surrendered to Krishna. So thank you very much, Mataji, for bringing up that point and how Draupadi was so surrendered to Krishna, and that way she was able to solve the problem of the hunger of the
world. Thank you very much. The point is, Prabhupada says, you know, just worship Krishna, just chant Hare Krishna, and then Hare Krishna mantra is complete. So just focus on that. That's what I'm doing. Just focusing on Hare Krishna mantra.
Yes,
and yes. Also Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that who worships the demigods, devatas, they are less intelligent. So
exactly.
Prabhupada wanted us to become intelligent. Hare Krishna. Okay.
Thank you, Mataji, for adding that. Very true. Hare Krishna. Do we have any other comments or questions? So I think we can end our conference. Thank you all very much for patient listening and this opportunity to speak once again.
Thank you, Mataji, once again for the beautiful class. Let us all offer obeisances to Mataji and all the Vaishnavas. Vancha kalpatarobhyasya vipasindubhya evacha patitanam bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo namo namah. Ananta koti Vaishnav vrinda ki jai. Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Har Krishna Saroja Nandini Mataji ki jai. Thank you so much, Mataji.
Thank you, Mataji. Thank you, sir.